getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Well, I'm lumped up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get lumped up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the new episode of Rocker Mike and Rob Presents. Today we have a special guest, Jimbo Jones from the Boston punk band Key of Caustic. Very cool band, up and coming on 213 Records, Code 213, excuse me, Records. And we're going to talk to Jim today and pick his brain, see what makes him work, makes him tick, you know. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. So you're based out of Boston, right?
Yes.
Are you Boston born and bred?
Boston born and bred.
Yep. All right. Well, we're New Yorkers born and bred, so we'll
let you off the hook.
We'll keep the feud to the side for today.
Hey, you know what today is? Today's opening day at Fenway
and Yankee Stadium too.
Oh, is it? Nice. Nice.
And I'm a Met fan, so he's a Yankee fan. So
you're a friend.
We're all good friends. Right. So you are the main vocalist and guitar player. Also, the other members in the band, I'll mention them quick, is Mike DeFranco on lead guitar and backing vocals. Josh Denoncour, am I saying his name right? Denoncour, yeah. On bass and backing vocals. And Colin Fahey on drums and percussion. I get that right?
You got it, man. Nailed it.
Okay. How'd you guys meet?
Oh, boy. So this will go back to, you know, late 2019, early 2020, when the pandemic was really just starting to hit. You know, once it was realized that at 15 days to slow the spread crap was not really going to happen, right? Which I think we all knew. I thought, well, you know, I got married and went through a divorce, had a kid, and stopped doing music for a little bit. And I thought, wow, hey, now's the time to really get back into music. What a great time to form something, write a bunch of songs. With the intent of just going out to some local pubs around Boston with some original music, with myself on an acoustic guitar and my buddy on a djembe or a cajon box or something like that, and just go rock out some pubs. And, you know, wrote a bunch of demos, sent them out to my network, you know, mostly just friends and some connected people. And you know, the feedback came back and said, hey, this great stuff, but this is not acoustic duo stuff. You got to get a band around this. And so that was kind of the catalyst to do that. You know, brought in a few guys I knew and decided I don't want to do it with guys I know. I want to start something fresh and new perspectives and really create something special. And so that's how this iteration came in. You know, I never knew any of these guys, Colin, Mike and Josh, but we
put an ad out or something, or
through networking on Facebook and Instagram and stuff, you know, came in and auditioned a bunch of guys. And this is the group that, you know, transitioned in and out a couple of guys as is always the case. And then finally, now we've got the core. So that's how
I'd say that was a good move on your behalf, because sometimes when you keep working with people that, you know, you have that baggage there, you know, and, you know, old arguments come up and things like that. So,
yeah.
You know, you're better off sometimes starting fresh, but it must've been hard with the pandemic to coordinate all that. Right. I mean, you really couldn't play anywhere.
Right. Couldn't play anywhere. Thankfully we were able to get a rehearsal space in Charlestown. I don't know if you guys know Boston or not, but there's an area called Charlestown you know, there's an old factory that's there that was converted about, you know, 10 plus years ago into some rehearsal spaces. So I was able to nail one of those. So at least we could get out of the homes, out of the apartments and into a space and actually start collaborating. So we just wrote and perfected our set, you know, with the hopes and the intent of the venues opening back up. I started reaching out to all of the venues when they were shut down saying, hey, whenever you're ready, we're ready. And as soon as the dust settled, you know, we started getting the call, and the rest is history, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, the one maybe silver lining in all that waiting was at least you could, like, you know, get the songs down. Right. And write new ones or, you know, work on them. you know, you had time to practice.
Right.
That's great. That's great. So I understand that you starting to work with Paul Caldery, okay, producer Paul Caldery.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, he's worked with the Pixies, Radiohead, Dinosaur Jr. I love that band. And Hole, right? Courtney Love and Hole. He worked with several other people. So you're working on an album that's supposed to come out later this year with Paul, right?
Yeah. So we're not really sure how that's going to all go down, but Paul's actually going to, he's coming into town on Sunday. He's meeting us at our rehearsal space. We're going to really identify the first two or three. He wants to do three to start and see what sort, you know, what his fingerprint on these can actually do. Right. And then based on how those do, we've got Dennis really just wants to do an album. I want to do an album. We don't have one. You know, we've got a bunch of singles. You know, quite a few of them have started to chart, so we think it's time to do it. You know, but yeah, that's the plan. That's, you know.
Now on your website,
The eight songs that you guys got on your website, they're pretty damn good, man. They're like really, it's like you guys call yourself punk, but I feel like a lot of rock and roll influence in you. Like, you know, like definitely, like you guys are rocking. It's like. You know, you want to get up and move kind of music. It's very good rock and roll, I got to tell you guys.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I second that. But you say, I mean, you know, you got eight songs on your website, which is keyofcaustic.com. So anybody can check it out. But the eight songs you got on there are pretty solid. I mean, you might want to do 12 for an album or something like that, right?
Yeah. Something like that. 10, you know, around 10-ish at a minimum, you know.
Are they all originals?
Oh yeah, all originals.
Right?
Yeah.
You could pair it with two covers or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, we have a ton of material, man. That's one of the things that Paul told me. He told me a story about one of his bands. I can't say who. You would totally know them. And they went up to this huge, you know, pinnacle, and hung there for a while, and then just dropped. And I said, "Why did that happen?" And he said, "They ran out of material." Essentially, they ran out of new material. So we don't have that problem. We've got like 73 songs in the pipeline right now, man. We just go hard on that.
But most bands, in my experience, what I've seen is, you know, the first album, they got all the material, maybe the second album. But when you start getting into like third and fourth, it's like harder. You know, I mean, one of my all time favorite bands is the Ramones.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which I'm sure you're influenced by.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, if you read about the history of them, they basically had their first three albums written before they even recorded their first one.
Yep.
All right. So, but then it was the fourth album, Road to Ruin, that they struggled with because you had to start fresh. There was no new material. It had to be written, you know, and that's kind of like, sometimes they call it the sophomore jinx if it's the second album, but you know, it's just definitely a struggle within a lot of bands. But are you the main songwriter?
Yeah, I am. So we've got actually a really great process how we do it. So, yeah, I come up with the ideas, you know, and it's just not, it's this weird thing. You're going to think I'm totally out of my mind, which I probably am. But, you know, I'll have this idea in my head and I'll hear this melody, this rhythm, this vocal line or something in my head over and over and over all day, every day. And I know that when I have to start reaching for my guitar every minute that I can, you know, I wake up, I want to go grab my guitar and start to vet that out and play that out. When something like that gets in my head, I have to make it a song. And so that's really the catalyst for me to start writing something new. Once I come up with like a basic intro, I've got the chord progression, I've got the lyrics done, even if there might be some dummy lyrics at first, but you know, something that kind of feels like a song, right? It's got an intro, it's got verses, it's got a chorus, it's got a bridge, it's got a spot for a solo, it's got an out. And then I hit my studio, which is behind me, my home studio, and I'll sort of demo that out. I'll write my own bass track and I'll do a dummy drum track and just give the guy something at the next rehearsal. And say, okay, guys, I came up with this. Let's make it a song. And then once those guys put their signature on it, their thumbprint, if you will, then that's when it actually becomes a song.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how it works. And then we'll send it to Dennis and we'll send it to Paul and we'll get their thumbs up, thumbs down. And depending on that, we'll roll it over onto the roster from there.
Yeah. And that's how you've done these eight tracks, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So what are some of your big influences? Let's go back into your early years. What bands influence you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed one of them pretty much, you know, Ramones. And so, you know, my tastes are pretty varied. You know, I've got that vintage punk, Johnny Thunders, Sex Pistols, Ramones, that whole thing, Misfits, yeah. Right?
Right.
I also get into like a little bit of new wave stuff for a while too. Like I love the melodies, and the harmonies and backup vocals. You know, of course, David Bowie, that's Tom Petty.
Right.
I've even got influences from Guns N' Roses, and Aerosmith, sure. Of course. So it's just a well-rounded, you know, a well-balanced diet of stuff. You know, I think when I write, my style tends to lean punk. You know, sometimes we turn it into a blues rock, you know, sometimes we turn it into something poppy. It really just depends on how it organically evolves, but that's pretty much it.
It's funny you mentioned Thunders because I do hear it in some of your songs.
Awesome. Oh, that's the best. Thank you.
I do hear it. I'm a tremendous Thunders fan, so I know.
Awesome.
But that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Mike, Where Did It Go is a pretty solid song. I was listening before we started the show, and that's a damn good song. Like, if you're going to release that single, that's a good song to come out. Like, it's a solid song, man. Great
stuff.
Thank
you. Yeah. It came out and it started just rolling, you know, it got legs and it just took off. And, you know, Where Did It Go is sort of our homage, right? Our nod to Thunders and Sex Pistols and Ramones, you know, we wanted to bring that into now and then put like a 2023 flair on it, you know, a little bit. So that's what we tried.
You know, one thing that we've talked about on several different podcasts that we have is how it seems like the way the world is going today, it's ripe for another kind of like, you know, rock and roll revolution, whether another punk era, it may not be called that, but, you know, something in that vein, between the pandemic driving everybody crazy. And then now things are opening again and people getting out. It seems like time could be ripe. People are angry about things, the state of the world and all that stuff. So there's kind of like ingredients here. And what I'm hearing in your music, in these 8 tracks that are on the website, is, you know, kind of like the roots being laid down for something like that, you know. And Boston has such a history, rich history of great garage bands and everything like that, you know. I know Dennis manages Tony Valentino from the Standells, garage band. You know, I mean, that's the quintessence. We had Tony on last year. He was great, you know.
Yeah. Cool guy. Great song, too.
I mean, it's, you know, like I said, Boston has so much history of great music coming out of it. And you guys are just like another example of that. That's the way I see it.
You know what? They have a lot of venues out there also that people can play. Like New York is starting to come back with those few venues. You know, like we got 11th Street Bar. You can see live music almost every day. 11th Street Bar got live music pretty good. It's a little stage. But you know what? The place you get a band back there and it's fantastic. You also got that... Coney Island Baby that they changed the name. Shows there all the time. Awesome. You know, this place is starting to pick up a little bit. And people want to go out and see shows. People definitely want to go out and see shows.
And over the last like 10 years or so, like Brooklyn's really come up as places, you know. If you need any recommendations, just, you know, email me. I'll hit you up with some.
Yeah,
places.
we're actually going to be playing Bar Frida at some point.
Yeah, Bar Frida, where's that?
Bar Frida, it's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Okay, I heard of it.
With a friend's band out there, and so we're trying to coordinate. Not to get off topic, but you know, we're going to do a Providence and a Connecticut. We want to, you know, do like a mini tour in a long weekend or something. And Bar Frida,
when is this starting?
We're trying to figure that out now. It looks like it could be August, September, or somewhere in that.
I'll definitely be there, man.
Awesome. Definitely.
Now you mentioned new wave as an influence and for the melodies and stuff like that. I noticed on YouTube, I guess it's your Key Acoustic channel, I think it was. There was an interesting video of you guys doing the Boomtown Rats "I Don't Like Mondays."
Oh yeah.
And I kind of was like, I'll be honest with you, I like maybe 2 or 3 songs from that band.
Okay? Yeah,
and that one is probably, you know, if it was 3, it would be like number 3. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, I like kind of some of the stuff from the earlier period.
Sure.
But I don't like Mondays. I was really surprised the way you guys did it. I'm like, how are they going to do this? You know, and I'm listening to it and I'm like, shit, that was good.
Yeah. You know, that was kind of a, that was kind of a sort of a fluky thing. You know, we have an opportunity to get on a couple of compilation albums, right? That on some massive Spotify playlists that would just open us up to new people. And so one of the, you know, several of them require it to be a cover song that it's redone, right?
Yeah.
An old one that's obscure, kind of that has some relevance for now. And I thought, man, I don't know if I can swear, but who the bleep likes Mondays? Nobody likes Mondays.
You can fucking curse all you want.
All right, cool. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we're not really PG, you know?
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure. Like some of them people freak out when I'm, you know.
No, not us. Not us.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know what? Nobody likes Mondays. It's a song that if you do know the song, you'll go, oh, I know that song. This is kind of a cool punk spin on it. And if you don't know the song, you'll be like, wow, this is kind of a cool punk song. You know, that
yeah.
I don't like Mondays. And, you know, it's kind of got that anthem vibe behind it, that mantra, I don't like Mondays.
Right.
And so, you know, we number one, wanted to do it for the compilation album. But number two, you know, that's one of the ones that we sent off to Paul. And Dennis really, really likes it. And so at some point, we're going to actually release it. So.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a good song that, you know, deserves a comeback.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's fun to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sort of not really a giant Bob Geldof fan myself, but that's a great song that's just extremely well written with a beautiful melody. And so we wanted to try to capture that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, when he was in the Boomtown Rats, he was onto something a little bit, but then just became kind of a douchebag as far as I'm concerned. So
apparently, yeah.
But whatever.
That whole Pink Floyd the Wall thing went to his head.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, Live Aid and
yeah.
becoming Sir Bob Geldof.
Yeah, yeah.
None yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Don't need that, you know. So it says on your website that you guys have been opening for some people, some bigger acts that have been coming through Boston. Who have you opened for?
Yeah, we've opened up for Weatherworn. We've opened up for 13 Fridays. We've opened up for, so many of them, man. Veers from out in L.A., actually from London and L.A., they combined. Yeah, we've had a chance to, you know, get on some stages, tap into some new fans from some of these bands when they stop in town.
Yeah.
Our manager right now is working on more and more of those opportunities, but at bigger and bigger stages, bigger venues. So Murder by Death reached out to us, and is interested in having us come on like in September when they're at the Paradise in Boston.
Cool.
So yeah, stuff like that, man. So we just, you know, when we play our own venues around Boston, you know, we bring a nice crowd and we just rock out. Now it's time to figure out like, how do we tap into new fans, right? We can bring ours, but So getting on those bigger stages and having those local support, you know, opening slot opportunities is going to help us do that.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. You mentioned in the beginning that, you know, you had given up music for a while and came back to it right at the beginning of the pandemic. Why did you give up music and what were you doing? What kind of stuff were you doing before?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't say I gave it up. I just wasn't in a band. I was sort of inactive for a while. I still was, you know, always playing and writing and collaborating and jamming out with friends here and there. But I didn't have an active band. You know, life came in, you know, and I got married, had a little kid, had a baby that, you know, and went through that whole cycle and then got divorced, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then part of my divorce, I lost a whole fuck ton of money.
I
had a Paul Reed Smith go flying down the stairs and crack in half. You know,
I've been there twice. I know how you feel.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so, and then, you know, once I was newly single again and, you know, all that shit was behind and it, you know, it was really time. It was time to get back into it. I didn't have somebody screaming over my head going, are you doing that again tonight? Yeah. You know, those. You know, you spend more time with them than you do me. I don't have that. So I might as well, you know, leverage that.
You can concentrate on the music.
Yeah.
Nobody
right.
mind if I do a shot right now. You know,
no,
you
go ahead, Mr. Right. Rossi.
I'll do a chase.
Yeah, I got a water chaser here. Actually, after the show, I'm going to be coming into the city. I'm going to go see the Residents tonight.
Awesome. Where are they at?
They're at a little club called Le Poison Rouge on Bleecker Street.
Ooh, that's a good venue.
It is a good venue. We saw Peter Murphy there, right?
Yeah, Peter Murphy.
Yeah. That's a place you guys could play, Le Poison Rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I've never heard of it, but yeah.
It's the old Village Gate.
Oh, okay.
You ever heard of the Village Gate? That was a club that was around for 50 years.
Wow.
And Bob Dylan used to play, you know, all that stuff.
Cool as CBGB?
CB's been gone, man.
I know.
Long time.
Was it as cool as that place?
Totally different vibe. CB's was a shithole. And Village Gate was like a supper club. You know, you sit down and have a drink, and, you know, and it wasn't as run down as CB's. I mean, CB's was a totally different experience.
That used to be called club, too. It was called like a club. That was a club also, because I've been there when it was a club.
I think it was a dance club for a short time after Village Gate closed. And then, but they've reconfigured it. Like the Village Gate used to be a big space, and they made it smaller for this Le Poison Rouge. Like they cut it in half. But it's still a great venue.
Awesome.
You should definitely look into it.
Yeah, we will.
Now, in your first go around in music and compared to now, what do you see as some of the big differences, changes?
Well, you know, I was in my 20s then, you know, and I'm not as, you know, it was more, the lifestyle was more crazy.
Sure.
You know, staying up for 3 days in a row and partying and playing, you know, all the kind of deal. It's a more mature thing, you know, a little bit now. But I mean, the rocker vibe and the rocker spirit is still the same. You know, I think now having that, you know, having lived that, you know, that party, wild, crazy lifestyle, and then having a lull from that. And now at this stage of life, I'm smart enough now to know what to do and more importantly, what not to do, what my limits are. You know, but you know, we've got a good group of guys now. We have a lot of fun. I mean, we don't, you know, we're not altar boys, you know, by any means, but we keep it in check, you know. Yeah.
Keep it more about the music than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got you. Yep. But how about the technology? I mean, there's been so many changes in the last 10, 15 years in just the way that people record. You know, you got your home studio behind you on your computer. I see that. Okay. Yeah. You know, that's the thing, you know, there's down here. I imagine it's up the same up in Boston is there's just very few studios anymore and everybody does things at home. And is that the case?
Yeah. You know, yes and no. I mean, there's still a lot of great studios here, like Q Division. They shut down for a while. They opened back up. You know, they went from Somerville over to Cambridge. That's a place that Coldery used to do a lot of stuff at when, you know, after Fort Apache and all of that. But yeah, I mean, try to find a studio now that has that analog setup, you know, that warm. And that's what I love. You know, I love that. And when, you know, back, you know, pre-marriage, that's all I did was analog stuff in terms of the studio. Now it's all digital, you know, and I go back and forth. I like it. I hate it. I like it. I hate it. You know, but, you know, the really cool thing is I can make really cool stuff at home and it doesn't cost me anything.
Right.
You know, at least for demo. So it's got its pluses and its minuses, you know. Sometimes it has that digital sound. You can just tell it doesn't have that. Like I use tube amplifiers, not solid state, because I love that warm tube tone, that, you know, the balls on that, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of like that, you know.
Right. I mean, there's people that there's artists out there that really, you know, that they look for studios that are analog and they'll, you know, they're able to, if they can find them, that's where they'll go record, even if it's far away.
Right.
One guy that's a friend of the show, I'm sure you heard of the band, the Chesterfield Kings.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Greg Prevost. He's a great guy. He's been on the show and, you know, I'm friends with him on Facebook and everything like that. He's up in Rochester. And he's working on some material and he's in a studio that's all analog. Maybe you want to look into Rochester as a place. Who knows? I don't know. It's far. But,
you know. Well, the good thing is our guitar player is from upstate. So our lead guitar player, Mike, he's from upstate. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Look into it. If I could find the name of the place, I'll email you, let you know. What are we going to say, Rob?
Yeah. You know who likes to play like that too? Jack White. He loves to fight that old school, like,
sound. Yes.
Yeah. Rock out. And it's a great sound when you think about it.
Yeah. You know, even places that even people that have like old amps that are using the old vacuum tubes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the only places you can get those tubes are like in Europe.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, and you know where else? Russia.
Yeah.
They still have they found, like, over the years, they've found like warehouses full of those tubes in Europe and Russia.
Wow.
All right. There's no more here, as far as I know. There might be.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Jeez, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually, they just, because nobody makes them anymore.
Yeah.
They're not being.
Putin's not going to let us get any of those.
No, no. Or he's going to charge a lot.
Yeah, right. He needs the money.
Yeah. So, your new single, is it going to be Where Did It Go?
Yeah, it drops officially on the 31st of this month.
We have it in
pre right now, and it's just like trumped, you know, in terms of like streams and stuff like that over all of them almost combined. So people are digging it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. You making a video for it?
Yeah, yeah.
You do it yet, or is it going to come out at the same time?
Well, that was the plan, but you know, it didn't quite work out. It may like dovetail like a week after or something like that.
Yeah, so, yeah, you'll get it out.
It's being done now, so yeah.
Cool. You got to let us know because you know, my rock show podcast group page on Facebook, I always have like a song of the day and all that, and I can hit a couple thousand people. You know,
awesome, man. Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely get it to you for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I'll keep an eye out. I subscribe to your channel, so I'll get an update.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, we're hitting like close to 2,000 people on that page where you look at the numbers. It's like 19 plus. So
that's,
you know,
awesome.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, between that and my regular page, it gets out there.
Awesome.
You know, be cool.
Yeah, exposure's good.
Yeah. All right, Jimbo, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right. And we wish you all the luck with Key of Caustic out of Boston.
Thank you very much.
All right. And keep in touch. And we will, you know, definitely hook up when you come down to Brooklyn for sure.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
And, guys, remember, the single comes out tomorrow, actually the 31st, tomorrow. Go download it, buy it, listen to it, rock it out.
By the time the show is up, it'll be out for a few days. And definitely go to keyofcaustic.com.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Really appreciate you guys. Take care, boys.
Take care.
Have a good one.
I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm getting lumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. I'm bumped up, but I'm okay. It's gonna get bumped up anyway. You better call back the posse. Just getting bumped up, Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi. Getting bumped up with Rocker Mike and Rob Rossi.